Welcome into the FWFB football live stream and podcast. We've got the Google Hangouts, as the kids are, I assume, calling it, going here. Kicking off our Friends with Fantasy Benefits and Friends draft. So I've got a room full of 12 sharp football minds. We'll kind of get people as they come up. Picking first, glad he jumped in with us, Jim Day. You know him as Fantasy Taz, one of the best mock drafters out there. He goes early and takes Ezekiel Elliott at one. I'm seeing that more and more. So that's interesting. Picking second, we got Ray Kuhn. What's going on, Ray?
Not much. How are you, Mike? Thanks for setting this up.
I'm good. You got Todd Gurley there at second. That's kind of nice.
Yeah, I can't complain with that. Honestly, if Gurley went first, I probably would have taken David Johnson second.
Right. Yeah, I'm a big DJ fan this year as well. Then we got Chris Booth. I think that's Chris Booth taking DJ at three, followed by Dave Pepping taking Lev Bell at four. What's going on, Dave?
Oh, not too much. You know, with those first four, they seem to be pretty locked in across the board from what I see this year. I mean, you know, I was kind of hoping for David Johnson. He's ahead of Bell for me this year, but I'll be happy with Bell anytime.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy being fourth or fifth in any draft this year, and I just happen to be fifth, and I got Antonio Brown because, you know, PPR especially, but half PPR, which is what we're doing tonight. AB is just so solid. He's in the top 10 every year, and, you know, you set yourself up for success having that guaranteed guy that gets you top 10 production. All right, then picking six, Donnie. I don't think – Donnie, you're not in here, are you? No, Donnie. Donnie takes Saquon Barkley six, so he jumps a couple of the veterans and gets Saquon, even with the hamstring. So some risk on that pick, but, you know, I've seen a lot of experts take him fifth and sixth, which is a little earlier than I'm comfortable with, but hey, you're looking for that, you know, LT type season from a rookie. I think, Colin, you're picking seventh. You take Odell Beckham Jr. What's going on?
Yeah, nothing much, Mike. Thanks for having me. I was a little snaked by Donnie, which I knew was going to happen going into the draft. Pulling up the draft screen and seeing Donnie right in front of me or anywhere near me, I know it's bad news for me. We've drafted a lot together. So I went with Odell just because, you know, I'm really nervous about Kamara. I think this is probably going to be a little bit of a reach at seventh overall. So I love Odell. You know, I think he's the number one dynasty wide receiver right now. I know this is a redraft, but I'm really hopeful for his season this year.
Yeah, that's, you know, the touchdown upside with Odell. He's my number two receiver. We talked about that with Mike Clay, taking Odell over Hopkins real early in the draft season, and it hadn't really come into fad yet. And you're seeing that increasingly as the regular season gets here, and you know, you kind of know Odell's happy with the Giants at the moment, so that's always good. Then we got Nick taking Alvin Kamara at eight. That's usually where you see him go. Dom takes Hopkins at nine. Again, you know, once those top guys are kind of gone, you're typically going to see Hopkins there. Fighting Chance Ryan, one of the friends of Friends with Fantasy Benefits, who jumped in for us. He gets Melvin Gordon at 10. That's pretty interesting. I see that a good bit too. People are pretty sold on Gordon and his workload for the year. You know, he's not the same talent that a lot of these other guys are, but he, you know, he's got that workload. He doesn't have much of a playing time threat. So there's something to be said for that. Another friend, Tracy Hickman, Dalvin Cook, lightning rod kind of pick there. You know, is he completely healthy? You know, is Latavius Murray going to steal the goal line role? So Dalvin Cook for me is a bit of a risk. And then Chris Allen picking at the 12th turn for us, our final friend of Friends with Fantasy Benefits. He goes ahead and grabs Leonard Fournette and Julio Jones. I don't mind being at the turn this year. What do you guys feel about that 12-13 turn?
I think if you don't need to have one of the top four running backs, then yeah, I'd probably rather be at the turn because there's not necessarily a huge difference. Because I mean, Barkley has a question mark with the health, and he's a rookie. as Colin talked about Kamara. So, I mean, if that's the case, then I'd rather just get two studs 12-13.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I want to be in that.
Agree.
Go ahead, Colin.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, one of the lightning rod guys that you touched on is Dalvin Cook. He's someone that's not even on here. So picking it, getting a guy like Leonard Fournette and Julio Jones, like Chris did, that's a great start to the draft there.
For sure. Any first round surprises to anyone?
Not really in the first round, but in the second round, Kareem Hunt fell to 17th. And if he would have fell one more pick, I would have scooped him up for sure.
That isn't that the worst feeling? Like, it doesn't affect you directly at all, but just like feels like you had him and then gets taken away. Yeah, that happened to me with this year in my home baseball draft with Manny Machado. He was falling in the third round, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get Manny. And then he went right before me. And he's having a pretty good year, but just to fly through some of these second round picks, Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen, you see those guys typically going right there in the beginning of the second. Gronk a little early to Dom. There's a big contingent out there that I'm seeing lately that are pushing Gronk back into the second round as a second round pick. What do you guys feel about Gronk with your second overall pick?
No, I can't do it.
Nope. I mean, I get it. You know, you get the top player whenever he's playing, but there's too much risk there for a second round pick to me.
Yeah, I mean, the thinking is, you know, the only real receiving target right now in New England is Chris Hogan, and with his health, you don't know what's going to happen. So he's got great red zone share and volume of targets as well. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, look at it, you know, the three picks that went after Gronk, you got Hunt, Adams, and Evans, you know, Colin mentioned even before Hunt at 17, that's, you got a real safe three-down guy right there.
Yeah.
You know, Adams and Evans, you know, 100% number one wide receivers. You can get value at tight end, you know, four or five rounds later. But you can't get a player like Hunt even in the third round type thing.
Yeah, I would much prefer to get Gronk at, like, you know, the turn if you had the first pick or the second pick overall. And then when you get your second, third picks, you know, getting him right there with the first or second pick of the third round. Yeah, and then Kareem Hunt, like we said, going pretty late there. Devontae Adams going over Mike Evans, which I can sign off on that. Does anybody else have an issue with Mike Evans going after Devontae?
Well, I took Devontae over Mike Evans, so I definitely agree with it.
I'm 100% with you there.
Yeah, it's, you know, for me, Evans, he's got the huge game upside and all that, but it's, you know, you get those 0-for weeks, and they're not 0-fers, but, you know, non-stud weeks. I think Devontae Adams, he's one of the only guys who broke double-digit touchdowns last season. That was without Aaron Rodgers for a stretch. He did it 2 years ago as well. He's only one of the few guys to do it two straight years. So
yeah, give me the guy with Rodgers instead of, you know, Fitzpatrick and Winston.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean the touchdown track record is huge too.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we talk about, all right, touchdowns are going to bounce back 1 year to the next, but I don't think we can underrate the fact that he did it back to back years.
Yeah, then I went ahead and grabbed A.J. Green right after those guys, which I'm totally happy with A.J. Green in the second round this year. You know, I don't like the situation in Cincinnati, but he's got a track record of success and huge weeks. You know, he's a guy who can put up 25, 30 points in a giant week just because he's such a target hog out there. They don't really have a lot around him. That's what you need to win weeks in a redraft setting. Dave, you took Christian McCaffrey. There's a lot that's been made of him this season. Is he going to get, you know, 30 touches a game and crazy things like that? You're comfortable with him there early third?
I am comfortable with him there. And, you know, I've got him ranked above, let's see, I mean, just where I was looking at. It came down to mostly, as you mentioned before, Evans, Adams, Hunt, Allen were all gone by the time it got to me, and that really and Green. That was pretty much my tier for wide receivers. And once those were falling off, you know, McCaffrey was by far my next running back over Howard and some of those other guys. And I felt that if I could get somebody with number one running back upside in McCaffrey, that was the way to go. I think he's very capable of it.
Yep. I'm sorry, that was late second round, not early.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, he's definitely more valuable in full PPR, obviously, but even in half PPR, I think his carries will go up this year than compared to last year. His receptions will probably, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if it turns out that he can run between the tackles, and you know, he's getting the opportunity, then he's a first round value. So you got Jim Day taking Jordan Howard, Adam Thielen at the turn there. I like Jordan Howard a good bit more than most people. Yeah, I know Tariq Cohen is a little bit of a threat, but I think that's a nice turn for Jim. Kicking off the third round, you got Devontae Freeman going to Ray. What do you expect out of Freeman this year, Ray? Do you think it's more like his 2017 season or his 2016, you know, monster year?
I'm not expecting the 2016 monster. I mean, in all honesty, I wanted Howard there, and I should have taken Howard with the first pick. And then, I mean, don't get me wrong, I like Hilton. I like Hilton more than the other receivers that were on the board at the time. But I think I would have rathered Howard Hill, Howard Thielen, somebody like that, than Hilton Freeman. But, I mean, it's probably just a toss-up anyway. I think Freeman, maybe we'll see somewhere in between the two seasons, but I'm not expecting crazy 2016.
Yep. Then you got a couple tight ends going. Chris Getz, Travis Kelce, early third, which is not unsurprising, and that pushes me up to taking Zach Ertz. You know, I'm a Philly guy, full disclosure, but he's such a touchdown threat. I'm good with him there. I think, it's the health is the concern, but if he plays 15 games or so, you're going to be set. You're going to really like the production you're getting. The wide receivers are horrible, as kind of was the case at the beginning of last season. So he's going to get volume early. He's going to score touchdowns. You know, he's right there, just a notch below Kelce for me. All right. Sorry. Just making my pick here.
You didn't have to.
That's a surprise.
Colin, Joe Mixon. Talk to me about Joe Mixon, because you know there's like some cooks in that kitchen with Giovanni Bernard, and they drafted Mark Walton. So you think Mixon is a workhorse this season or what?
Yeah, I do. I think they actually use him correctly, unlike last year. And it's funny, in the chat I put that Donnie was going to snake me, because Mixon is his boy, and I fully thought that he was going to go with him. He actually took McKinnon right before him. So, you know,
would you have taken McKinnon if both were available?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. I've soured on the thought of McKinnon being my RB1, let alone my RB2, just because of
taking on more.
Yeah, I mean, I was all on him, I think, our last podcast, Mike, but I've researched, and Joe Mixon is a complete running back, and I'll definitely take him over that little skinny guy in San Francisco.
I'm okay with him in the fourth or fifth. Just in the third, your third round pick busts, and you're in trouble. You know, you got to make up ground. So, you know, early fifth, if I think that's probably the right price for him. You know, if you're in the late fourth and you got to do it, I don't have a problem with it. But
yeah, well, the strange thing about this start of the draft was I went wide receiver. Most of my drafts I haven't done. And that's kind of a little bit of a break from normality. So with Joe Mixon being on the board, I have full confidence that he could be the best RB1 left on the board. You know, the best chance to be an RB1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then moving into the fourth round, got Donnie getting my guy Brandon Cooks right ahead of me. That's a snipe. So credit to Donnie. Cooks, you know, I've talked about him plenty on the podcast. Fourth round, that's the territory you want him. So I'm stuck taking LeSean McCoy.
How do you feel about that, Mike?
A lot of people are scared off of him. My feeling is I think it's going to be messy, and I totally think he's going to have some kind of issue with the NFL, even if he doesn't have any legal issue happen. But I think the NFL is going to be patient. You know, they don't have anything that's really pressing them. You know, the investigation sounds like it's really moving slowly. So I think next season he's probably toast. But this year I can't see him playing less than like 12, 14 games. And even at that, I can see him using the Ezekiel Elliott defense, you know, appealing it to a higher court, knowing he's going to lose, and just saying, "Well, I'm gonna play some more games on this contract here, and you know, the Bills probably need me if they're in the playoff hunt at all." So, I'm not scared about it. I was taking him in the late second, early third before it happened, and now that I can get him in the fourth, I think that's a risk worth taking if you get a second round value 2 rounds later.
Yeah, I agree. If anything, I think I'm more into McCoy than I was early in the draft. I mean, I think the price has something to do with it. But, I mean, again, it feels like he's been around forever, but he's still only 30. Yep. They're talking about just riding the hell out of him. They really don't have much else going on offensively. So, I mean, if you can get him in the fourth round with RB1 potential and that workload, I think it's well worth it.
Yep. Then, Dave, you get Russell Wilson. I believe the second quarterback off the board there, unless I missed someone.
Yeah, I think you're right. I usually wouldn't, but, similar to when I went McCaffrey before, you know, I would usually look wide receiver there, but, man, there was just a grouping of wide receivers that I felt would bring back the same value, so I thought I'd take the most consistent quarterback that I could find that has the least amount of risk probably going into this year of what's left between – Brady being, 46 now? No. And, Watson with the injury and everything else, you know, just Wilson, I don't have to worry about that position right now, I guess.
Yeah. It's if you can have the patience with him in the beginning of the season, which he tends to be a little bit slow with, he can get you a lot of wins down the stretch. So it's a tad early for my taste, but, you know. And a 12-teamer, get your quarterback set. Okay. All right, just scrolling through the picks here as they keep happening, and it jumps on me. Where are we at? All right, got the turn with our guy Chris taking Alex Collins and Demaryius Thomas. That was right before Dave's Wilson pick. Coming back, Ray, you take Jay Ajayi. A little earlier than he's probably going typically, but you had Derrick Henry going right ahead of you. I grabbed McCoy before you could. What are you feeling about Ajayi? Are you good with him and the timeshare that he's in Philly?
I think so. I mean, part of it too is drafting on the end that I felt like I kind of had a reach to grab him because I knew it would make it back to my next set of picks if I wanted him, and I saw a pretty decent drop-off coming with the tier running backs. I mean, like, Burkhead just went before it got back to me again, and you had Ingram going. So, I mean, obviously I'll take Ajayi ahead of those guys, and I'm not necessarily going to be tied to the ADP in that situation. And I think he has the full year in Philly with the full offseason. I think he's going to be, for the most part, the bell cow, and I'm not too worried about Clement or anything like that.
Yeah, I kind of had the same sentiment in my pick there with Deion Lewis. I needed a second running back. You know, I had Josh Gordon queued up and thinking about a couple other receivers, and you know, I've already got tight end filled. So I just want to get that next starter and grab Deion Lewis.
Ray, I was actually contemplating Ajayi over Jarvis Landry whenever I took Landry about four or five picks before that. So, I thought about it, but going into, you know, my draft, only having Mixon as my running back, I felt like I needed Ajayi, but then I've seen Jarvis Landry. I've seen the hard knocks. I'm really excited about him being a focal point in the Browns offense. So I got a little diva-ish and took the wide receiver.
Yeah,
no, I get that.
I did that last year with the Bucks, so this year I'm trying to, like, just, you know, before I watch a Hard Knocks episode, see where I've got those guys ranked and stay completely level on them. It gets you hyped. Right, I'm up here to pick. Oh, some interesting decisions starting to, you know, we're in the sixth round. That's where things start to fall apart a little bit. You don't have any reliable names. I got a couple guys I'm debating at receiver. I'm going to draft Sammy Watkins here. We talked about it a couple shows ago with Dave, Peter Howard, sorry. And, you know, my feeling is that it's not absurd to say Sammy Watkins could out-target Tyreek Hill. I wouldn't say it's probable, but, Tyreek Hill isn't a target monster to begin with. So that's my my Sammy Watkins pitch.
I hate him. I'm for it, Mike.
You on board with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I wasn't in the beginning of the season just because it's Sammy Watkins, but whenever your toughest competition is a small speed threat.
I forgot you're not Team Hill.
No, definitely not.
I am Team Hill.
Yeah, I remember we had that debate early on in best ball season. I don't think that means Tyreek Hill isn't productive. I think that both can be productive, but
I'm not loving this pick right here, but I can't let him sit there anymore.
Yeah, that's what you're seeing the last few days, in the last week with Alshon, is it's nobody wants to touch him. They're scared of the shoulder. You know, there's rumors of the pup.
It's Rapoport, so I'm not as concerned.
Yeah, and if you remember, Carson Wentz was supposed to go on the pup, according to Rapoport, and I feel like somebody in the Eagles organization is maybe feeding him bad info just to mess with him. Because I can't stand Rapoport, and if I were in an organization, I'd do the same thing. I would feed him some disinformation. Colin, you got Jimmy Graham there in the sixth. You think he's going to be a touchdown threat for Green Bay?
Oh yeah, I love Jimmy Graham this year. I think I've got him on three of my four teams I've drafted so far. I mean, like we said before with Devontae Adams, give me Aaron Rodgers and give me Jimmy Graham. I can only see great things. I see him performing like he did in New Orleans, if not better.
Yeah. I mean, the two sides of the coin that I've thrown out there are it's hard to trust any tight end in this offense, and that's because I got burned on Martellus Bennett last year. But, Martellus wasn't healthy for a lot of the season. The other side of the coin
– and.
Go ahead.
Jimmy Graham isn't a tight end.
That's what I was about to say. The other side of the coin is he's going to be pretty much James Jones. You know, that year he came back and was kind of like, a wide receiver who was a tight end. And now you got Jimmy who's a tight end that's a wide receiver. He's offers more than any other tight end, really, with a few exceptions in the red zone. The size, the leaping ability, he's not as fast as he used to be, but I'm pulling a lot of Jimmy Grashams in best ball. That way I don't have to worry about, if he struggles for a stretch or anything like that. Just give me the touchdown weeks and let it sort itself. All right, I'm up to pick here. I got this one queued up, so no wait on me. All right, jumping back to where we were in the fifth. Dom gets Corey Davis a little early there, 57. That's interesting. He's got a ton of ceiling, but not a lot of floor, and I think that's due to soft tissue injuries, which he's already struggled with a little bit in camp. Tracy Hickman getting Rex Burkhead, pick 59. I'm not really on Team Rex. I know a lot of people are all about him. They love what he offers. For me, the issue is he always seems to get nicked up. He's always kind of missing some time, and it's the Patriots, right? It's not that you don't draft a Patriots running back. It's that you just draft the cheapest one you can get, and it's not Rex Burkhead. He's the most expensive one. So you're asking for disaster. Anybody have a pro Rex take?
No. I mean, maybe he's going to have a game or two. I mean, I know best ball is kind of the cop-out, but yeah. I mean, they drafted Michelle in the first round. I have to think that they're gonna use him.
Yep, and I forget who it was that said on Twitter. I wish I could give him credit, but they pointed out something interesting. If Michelle does miss time, it's actually bad for Burkhead because the guys that they're going to bring in are guys who will get a goal line role. And now Burkhead loses that, where before that was kind of, you know, one of the things he was going to get. You know, if Jeremy Hill or Mike Gillisley is the second or third running back active, that's what those guys do. Jeremy Hill showed nicely in the preseason, but he's already you know, grabbing his leg in practice and then missing the following practice. So I don't know what to do with him. I got real excited. I was back on in Jeremy Hill, and I've got a little Twitter thread going, the Jeremy Hill doomsday clock, and it's at 11:59. It's getting closer to midnight. But you know, we'll see when the real season gets here, who's getting snaps. And Sony did go right after that to Fighting Chance, Ryan, at pick 62, I believe that was 63. Which, again, that's probably a little early for Patriots back for me. But if you're sold on Michelle, then I'm okay with him still being taken early. You know, if he's your guy, I think, you know, you don't like going into the season with the knee lingering a little, possibly. But it doesn't sound that bad. Anybody worried about Sony?
I think I would be worried more about him fumbling and being a rookie than the knee. I think the knee. I'm thinking the knee's going to be okay.
Yeah,
it's early enough in camp, but I think the issue isn't necessarily the knee. It's going to be maybe the first few weeks if he's a little slow adjusting to the playbook and all that stuff and game action. And then what happens if he does start off slow and Burkhead has like a Mike Gillisley 3-touchdown game and everyone's going to be all in on Burkhead and then Michelle will come back, swoop back in.
Right. All right. I'm up here to pick. Tough decision here. End of the eighth round. Things don't look great, but I'll talk about that pick in a second.
Oh, you hurt me, Mike. You hurt me.
That makes it that much better. I know I made a good decision. Even if it isn't a productive decision, I hurt Colin. All right, rounding out the sixth round there. Lamar Miller going to Dom. That's a decent pick there. You know he's got floor. Rashad Penny to Nick. I'm not too scared of Penny and the broken finger. I think he's going to be fine for the season, even if the first game he's got to get mixed back in. Colin, you got Tom Brady at pick 66, so you don't think he's going to miss a beat in his age 42 season, is it? 43?
I mean, at that pick, I can pick someone in the last round and just stream if I have to, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's Tom Brady, you know? Yeah. It's the sixth round. I got a good wide receiver core. I got Jimmy Graham. I got Joe Mixon. Give me Tom Brady, and I'll figure the rest out.
Colin, you're breaking up on me there. Hey, Colin.
Yeah.
Sorry, you broke up on me there. I lost you after you said you got Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, I got Jimmy Graham. I got Joe Mixon. I got a good wide receiver core. Give me Tom Brady, and I'll figure the rest out later.
Yeah, I mean, I've taken some Tom Brady as he's gotten kind of cheap in towards the ninth and tenth round and some best balls, things like that, where you know you know he's going to have super productive weeks. The yardage is going to be there a lot of the weeks, and you know, touchdowns as well, hopefully, if anyone can catch them. Donnie getting Cam Newton right after you. Looks like you snaked Donnie for a change.
Yeah, I did. I've actually done that twice, so I'm just as happy as you are with your last pick towards me.
Yeah. Then I got Watkins. Dave, you got Ronald Jones there. You're not worried about some of the poor reports coming out of camp?
No, they're usually almost always is some of those poor reports, and you know, I just hope that, you know, maybe just playing a little bit of fodder. I mean, he's a rookie. I expect there to be a little bit of a learning curve for him. So hopefully he's able to pick up and go with it. The talent should be there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, name me a rookie who hasn't struggled a little bit to start camp. And, you know, I think, especially this time of year, things tend to get overblown. So as Ronald Jones shares get cheaper, I'm down with getting him a little later than he was going. I got my share of Peyton Barber really late in best balls. Same thing with Chris Carson. I got a lot of Barber and Carson in the very late rounds, just assuming that they were going to be the starters, and they're starting to hopefully pay off, at least for the early part of the season. Anybody? Yeah. Go ahead, Ray.
I think it will. I mean, obviously Penny got hurt, so I think that helps. I like Carson more. I like Carson more than I do Barber, just because even if it's not going to be Barber or if it's not going to be Jones, you still have Charles Sims for passing down Jacquizz Rodgers for whatever the heck he's worth. Meanwhile, in Seattle, I mean, yeah, McKissick and Procise, but is Procise even going to be healthy, going to be on the field? I think Carson is more that first, second down guy, and I can see him kind of having a strong first month of the season and then them easing Penny back into it. I mean, again, they took Penny in the first round, so I would imagine he's going to get the work, but we also heard before Penny got hurt that Carson was running with the first team. So, I mean, it's hard to follow all the tea leaves and everything like that.
Yeah.
Going into this, I like Jones better than Penny to begin with. Then all of a sudden, after the first week, Jones was better at pass protection. But, I mean, again, if you're talking late rounds in best ball, they're both well worth it.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I want them in best ball, because barring injury, they'll have a role, even if the rookies supplant them as the primary back. Especially in the goal line situations where the team may trust the veteran to hold on to the ball, protect, you know, the possession better. So.
Donnie killing me with that Anthony Miller pick.
What's that, Dave?
Donnie killing me with that Anthony Miller pick. I've been trying to pick him up everywhere.
Yeah, Anthony Miller's going earlier and earlier. Did you guys see him catch the six balls yesterday? Or was it today? On the punt drill. That was pretty funny. That's one of those camp things, just killing some time, and it's always entertaining. And you got Ray's Alshon pick there. Nelson Aguilar going right after Alshon. Both guys are banged up. I don't want to give away a future pick, but Mike Wallace is a guy that I think is definitely going to benefit from those two missing time if they do. Even if they do come back for week one, I think their target shares will be limited. So,
but, I mean, do you think it would be Wallace, or would it go more to Ertz than, I think, Goedert, the other tight end?
I think Ertz definitely will see an uptick. But, you know, they got to throw as a receiver at some point. In a Goedert, I see him really getting involved more in the red zone. That's where they tend to like their two tight end sets. You know, everybody starts to worry about your big touchdown threat tight end, and you just sneak the other guy out the back. I think Mike Wallace, especially early in the season, if he's got anything left in the tank, he's going to be good. Not a bad gamble late in drafts. I'm back up here. I still don't want to take a quarterback.
I feel like it's a game of chicken right now.
That's your thing this year, right, Mike? You do not want to take a quarterback.
Yeah, I told you in our dynasty chat, Colin. I worship at the altar of the faceless quarterback. You just don't take one, and you'll figure it out later. And then Fantasy Taz getting Greg Olsen at pick 73. That's a nice value there if Olsen's got anything left, which, you know, reports out of camp sounds like he's back to his normal self. You know, we'll see how long that lasts and if he wears down throughout the season. Ray, you're getting yourself a handcuff there in Tevin Coleman at pick 74.
Correct? I did. I mean, part of it was when the clock was running out and the draft room was a little slow. And I had Coleman kind of queued off to the side there. But the way I look at it is, if I'm only starting two backs, it's going to work more like a handcuff. And I'm not going to try – if Freeman's healthy, Freeman's going to start. I mean, granted, this is a mock. Freeman healthy, Freeman starts. If not, I plug Coleman in there, and I don't have to worry about when he misses his game or two with a concussion.
Yep. And that's one of the few handcuff situations I'm okay with, because, like I said, you both can be productive, and if one does get nicked, you shift the other one in. And even some weeks, if you're desperate, you can start both. All right, picking up here. Dave, I'm just going to skip right over your Jordy Nelson pick because you're a Packers fan. I actually don't mind Jordy. It's maybe ahead of a couple of guys that I would have taken, but I know Ray and I have talked about it. We're on board with Jordy. The reports are sunshine and rainbows, and he looks like he's 28 and all that stuff. But bottom line is he's a reliable wide receiver. And David Carr has shown an affinity to pick the guy he can trust and kind of look at him a little more than anybody else on the field, especially when it comes to scoring touchdowns.
Not that Carr is Rodgers or anything like that, but with Rodgers last year, all six of Jordy Nelson's touchdowns came within the first 5 or 6 games with decent quarterback play. So it's like, yeah, maybe he might be a little more touchdown dependent now without the speed he used to have, but. Yeah, he's about as sure handed as anybody can get. He'll be that red zone target for Carr if he needs it.
Yeah, I think Carr, like you said, he's not Aaron Rodgers, but he's a huge upgrade to Brent Hundley, yeah. Who looked like garbage for most of the the time he played. And what really made him look like garbage to me was he was bad at home. How are you a Packer and you're bad at home? That's like one of the biggest home field splits for most players, out of any team. So, Colin, then you grab at pick 79, Aaron Jones. I guess you just had to have a Packer running back?
Well, my plan was to take Aaron Jones and then come back around and take Jamal Williams, but I saw someone falling a little bit too far. I thought I could sneak one more round, and this guy named Rodowan came in and screwed up my whole strategy.
Yeah.
But I still think that Aaron Jones is going to be the running back to own in Green Bay this year. I think I took him a little bit early. My running back strategy is a little risky with Mixon and Aaron Jones and the aforementioned Peyton Barber, but I still think playing the waiver wire and possibly a top 3-round caliber running back in Aaron Jones for the rest of the year. Year after his suspended go.
Yeah, I mean, he is the more explosive back. What I've said on that is I'm not sure it matters. He's, unless one of the other two guys gets hurt, which is entirely a possibility, but, they didn't feel like they had to get Jones on the field until both backs ahead of him went down last season, with a little bit of off-field stuff and some injuries and stuff that they had to get addressed in the off season. Do they feel more like they have to get him on the field? So, but yeah, at this point, not a bad flyer because running backs are drying up quickly. Nick takes an interesting name, David Njoku there at pick 82. Oh man, the picks are flying fast. I keep getting the list jumped on me. Fighting chance, Ryan gets Pierre Garçon. I'm sorry, Njoku was 80th, then Garçon at 82nd. Tracy Hickman, Jamison Crowder at 83rd. A couple, reliable wide receivers there. I'm okay with those guys as a flex or a bench role. They're nice bye week fill-ins. They don't have a lot of touchdown upside, but they're guys that you can usually count on to get targets and. That's big. You need to set the table in your bye weeks and hope somebody goes off in a different spot. Cooper Kupp, right? Go ahead.
I was going to say, you just mentioned Cooper Kupp. If you find somebody that's going to get 6 to 10 targets, you think you expect one of those weeks to hit, you just hope for it to be the one that you got to play on.
Yeah. Cooper Kupp's another guy in that same vein. Coming back around the turn. Nick gets DJ Moore, one of my favorite young receivers. I know Colin doesn't like that his quarterback is Cam Newton, but you don't get to pick who throws you the football.
Yeah, he's someone that's not on my draft board as well this year.
All the best receivers would be on the Packers if that was the case. I
mean. Yeah, if he was on the Packers, then maybe I'd draft him at Joe Mixon. But we could play what ifs all day, Dave.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I finally took a quarterback. We'll get to that.
I like that pick.
I couldn't believe he was there. I wasn't gonna. I was gonna wait one more round because that's, you know, I put it out there that you can't take a quarterback, and then I go ahead and take one before my second pick.
Hypocrite.
And Mike, I know you're not in it, but Colin and Ray and I earned that three sport draft, and I picked Andrew Luck as my quarterback. He's my only quarterback right now, so I'm a little worried.
Wow.
I got in pretty late too, and he was what, the ninth or tenth quarterback in this draft, or maybe eighth, somewhere in there.
Yeah, something around there.
That's right around that same number.
Yep.
In the other draft.
But yeah, I mean, you know, the play there is if Luck is healthy, he's a top five quarterback most likely because their defense is atrocious, and you know he's going to have to throw the football a whole lot. Seeing where you guys are at in this next round, Colin, you got a wide receiver here, Robbie Anderson. You're not worried about him, yeah. Kind of having some off-season struggles?
Not really. He's the guy that I took over thinking that to me, but you know, I just couldn't pass up the number one wide receiver on a Sam Darnold led. You know? there's a little bit of sarcasm there, but I think Sam Darnold is probably their best option and probably the best option to get Robbie Anderson some touches. And for him to be my number one bench wide receiver, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, I talked about it last week with Jeff Ratcliffe, and you know, they promoted their quarterbacks coach, I believe he was, to offensive coordinator, and you know, that was kind of shocking because that offense did perform, but the whispers were that it was really the QB coach who was the guy kind of installing the concepts and getting the offense to where it was. So, and the guy ahead of him was creating some bad blood. That whole organization is dysfunctional, which is not a surprise. But then I get Jamal.
I mean,
Williams.
They're right next to the Mets. What else do you expect?
Hey, they scored 24 runs today.
Against my Phillies too. We had some position players pitching innings. It was all over the place.
But I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm sitting here watching the Jets preseason game, and I'm starting to get all excited. Then I have to remind myself I have a Mark Sanchez jersey packed away in a box somewhere.
Yeah, there's been some interesting errors in the Jets history.
I've suffered through a bunch.
All right, got myself on the clock here with no one in mind. I'm gonna have to make a little bit of a snap decision. I normally don't like taking back up a tight end, but for the sake of this draft, I'm going to. Guy that I think is going to score some touchdowns, Austin Seferian-Jenkins. All right, jumping back to where we were. All right. I got Jamal Williams at pick 92. Dave, you get Delanie Walker at pick 93. Mentioned him last week. You know, he always gets like so little love and he goes so late in drafts. He's never the buzzy guy, but you know, he puts in solid seasons year after year. And you know, he blossomed late in his career. Part of that was getting out of San Francisco and they were a toxic organization at that point. Are you pretty excited to have Delanie?
I am. If I miss out on those first, you know, three tight ends, probably maybe four, including, you know, Olsen, you know, 3-4 being Olsen Graham or so. If I miss out on those, yeah. I mean, it's worth it to wait for sure. I think. And if Mariota can just improve some on that short passing game or the end zone passing or red zone passing game, and he'll just keep being as valuable as he's been.
Yep. You know, I feel like I'm underweight on Delanie, especially in best balls. Him and Kyle Rudolph have kind of fallen off my map because I've gotten a lot of Trey Burton a couple rounds after them, and I feel like I need to make an adjustment there and make sure I get some of both of those guys in the eighth or ninth round where possible.
Yeah.
Okay, Marlon Mack kind of a surprise pick to Chris there, in the 90s though. not a bad pick. He still could be the starting running back of that team, but it's tough to win a role when you're not practicing. Yeah. Got my final pick here. Need to grab a defense.
Deontay Foreman for Houston.
Oh yeah, I sniped him.
You're not worried about him? I mean, everything I'm hearing is like he may not even be like ready to play for a year.
I'm perfectly fine.
Yeah, that's possible for the pup, but I'm perfectly fine as the last pick in the draft, just in case, because he's way better than the underwhelming Lamar Miller.
Yeah, he was starting to take over that role, and it was devastating that he got that injury because I owned him on my draft with Giants team, which was desperate for a running back to fill in for some injuries. He did give me a nice farewell present when he scored two touchdowns in a kind of critical late season week. There's been pretty much no running back who's come back from the Achilles, and a football player is on the whole. There's not a lot of them to make that turn that corner.
What's the latest news on Wentz?
The news on Wentz, I'm not surprised about what came out, and they, him saying it's going to be a tough call for week one. That if it's not up to him, it's up to the training staff. That's pretty much what any situation is going to be. Where he's coming back from not playing at the end of last season and no preseason action. But he did it once before his rookie year. He barely played any preseason action with, I believe it was a rib injury. And they were just like, no, we're comfortable. We're going to start as a rookie week one who didn't play any preseason hardly. So if he gets the okay, he's going to start. And I would expect them to encourage the training staff to make sure he's available week one. Not that any NFL coach would ever pressure their team doctor into.
No.
Never.
All right. Yeah. Catching up to the draft here because we only got a few minutes left. Yeah. Colin, you got Peyton Barber right there at late in the draft. Not a bad guy to fill in week one when you're trying to wait it out with a guy like Aaron Jones.
Yeah, it was funny. At the time, we were talking about the Peyton Barber, Chris Carson, and I took Peyton Barber. Chris Carson went right after him. So, with my situation with Aaron Jones being out the first two weeks, I needed someone steady that I think might win the job. Like you were saying about Penny, if he takes over the role week one, there's a possibility for that. So that's why I went with Peyton Barber over Carson.
Tyler Lockett to Dom at 105. I like that, especially with Doug Baldwin missing time. If Lockett is, a better receiver a year removed from a devastating leg injury, that could be interesting. Jordan Wilkins at 106 to Ryan. Another nice pick there. He might be the starting running back with Marlon Mack out. I like the Nyheim Hines upside as a satellite back, but I think people are getting carried away with Hines. I think he's like 5'7".
He's a little guy.
He's a converted receiver, and he's like ridiculously small. He's going to get some carries, but there's no way he's going to get more than like 7 to 9 carries a game as a max. So there's carries up for grabs there. Tracy sniping me on Trey Burton, one of my favorite tight ends. He's going later and later. People are getting a little worried about Adam Shaheen because he caught a preseason touchdown. You put those two next to each other, I'm taking Burton every single time.
Oh, yeah.
Kirk Cousins going 110. Drew Brees going 108. I'd much rather have Brees than Kirk Cousins. I don't know how you guys feel about those two because they're kind of that like 7, 8, 8, 9 quarterback tier.
I personally have Cousins ahead of Breeze this year. I think I'm a little lower on Breeze. I have Breeze barely in my top 12. So I think maybe I'm the other extreme, but I'm thinking they were more conservative last year. overall the numbers are there, but he really only had a few big solid games. They're going to lean more on the running game. I don't know. I'd rather take my chances with Cousins. I know that the old line is an issue right now in Minnesota, but with all those weapons with DeFilippo, I'd rather go with the younger guy.
Yeah, definitely. Since I got sniped on Burton, I had to grab Jordan Reed, which, you know, isn't a bad stash. Since, you know, he apparently says his toes feel good. He's practicing. People say he looks lighter on his feet. You know, when he's on his game, man, he's a top three tight end. So he's a guy that, you know, backing up Ertz with, I could even work him in a trade if he's healthy. George Kittle continuing the tight end run to Ray. Fantasy Taz getting Phillip Rivers there before Andrew Luck. That's interesting. I clearly prefer Luck, but I get it with Rivers. You know, he's kind of, outside of a couple of really disastrous interception seasons, he's been okay. I'm surprised I got this guy here, Nick Chubb at pick 125. That's a lot later than I've seen him going, especially in best ball. He's usually just before pick 100, sometimes right after. So 125, I'm happy with him in, you know, a running back situation that I may need a little help down the road if LeSean has legal troubles. does anybody have a strong take on Chubb?
I think if I would have done it again, I think I probably would have went Chubb over Clement. You know, I had Clement in my queue, just kind of remind me of him being there at some point. And I think the clock ran down a little bit. If I would have been able to do some research, I think I would have went Chubb over Clement. And that, just looking at the picks around it, I think that's a good spot for him, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't be upset with Clement. You know, he probably would have been the pick that I would have ended up with had you taken Chubb.
Yeah.
He's, you know, it's going to depend a lot on his receiving role, because he caught a lot of important passes last season, not volume wise, but some red zone work, some touchdowns. If Sproles doesn't get it back together, Clement's going to fill in a passing role on a team that loves to target its backs. Because I don't think Danelle Pumphrey is an NFL running back, and Wendell Smallwood has just been he can't break a tackle in the NFL, and you know, to be a running back who's small and shifty and not be able to get past defenders, you got no future. So I think he's probably a cut as well. Cam Meredith to Donnie, that's a nice pick. I like Cam Meredith. You know, he left practice the other day, and that kind of spooked people, but. It might take a little time before he's completely on the same page with Breeze. I wouldn't panic with Cam. You know, weeks 1, 2, 3, even 4. You know, wait till they have a good matchup at home and he gets some volume. See what happens. Colin, you got Lat Murray there, 127. A lot of people like him to get some touchdown vulture work.
I like him to take over the lead role for the injured Dalvin Cook. So that's why I took him. I'm a little bit, like I said, Dalvin on my draftable list. I could eat a lot of crow for that, but I'm really nervous about give me some Lat Murray just in case, you know, it takes him a little bit longer to get back fully healthy.
All right. So while I finish out the last couple of rounds here, go ahead and take a look at everyone's rosters, guys, and just give me one of your favorites that's not your own team. but I'll finish the last 20 or so picks here, just some highlights. Tracy Hickman getting Marcus Lee at 134. That's a nice floor pick there. I like that a lot. Dom getting Ben Watson. I think he can step right back into the role he had before he left New Orleans and score some touchdowns. They let a couple big bodies go. Donnie getting Robert Kelly, Fit Rob, as they're trying to rename him. I'm good with that. I think he's the preferred running back. P. Ryan may take the job, but if you get a starting running back and the touchdowns that could come with it at pick 139, that's great. My Andrew Luck pick, 140. That's an absurd price on Andrew Luck, so I'm good with it. Dave, you got Calvin Ridley at 141. I know that probably stung a little bit for Colin. The Fantasy Taz, Jim Day's getting Jeremy Hill and Geronimo Allison with his last couple player picks. That's a nice combo to fill in later in the season, especially if Randall Cobb misses much time. Allison's, you know, their number three receiver, but you know, he could play the slot or the outside. I think he has a role as long as he's healthy. Ray, Josh Doctson, nice upside pick there at 146. You know, he scored way more touchdowns than I thought he did last year. Getting into early draft prep this season, I thought he was kind of garbage in my head, but then seeing what he actually produced was kind of good.
Number 60 market for Mark Ingram. I haven't done a whole lot of mocks yet. Is that keep going around there, you guys think? Is that because I think he could be a great pick this year for sure.
Yeah, that's about his range. You know, I think the worry with him is when he comes back, he may not have a job. You know, he'll get some snaps and some carries, but between Kamara showing some between the tackles ability, and they've got some other guys that are bruising backs, Terrence West, Jonathan Williams. If one of those guys pops at all, you know, now you could be looking at a three-way share, and I think Kamara's got the safe work in passing downs with some rushing opportunities, so the other guys could just eat away at each other. Jimmy G going a little late there. That's his right price, though, after the quarterbacks that went ahead of him.
Chase that one with me, Mike. I've got the pretty boy quarterbacks.
you love you some quarterbacks, Colin.
Oh yeah, I love the pretty boy quarterbacks. Give me Brady and Jimmy G.
Getting the band back together. Tracy Hickman got Marcus Mariota. That's a nice late quarterback pick. And I'm going to kind of skip defenses because we don't really need to talk defenses. So, all right, give me one team that you liked besides your own.
As far as the pick that jumps out, I mean, I like Colin taking Dez at 138 because as much as we want to believe that Josh Gordon's going to be okay, I'm still not sure I buy it for 16 games. And if Dez does sign with Cleveland, it's really going to be Dez going deep, Landry in the slot. Who knows what the story is with Callaway? So I think a motivated Dez could have a big year.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, Dez is kind of dead to me in redraft.
And I mean, really? At that price, who really cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, who really cares at that price? I agree, Ray. I mean, the guy that drafted that, Dez Bryant, he's got to be a genius. I'm not sure. Yeah,
definitely.
you're a Texans fan, right, Colin?
No, I'm a Raiders fan.
Raiders fan, that's right.
Yes.
You're in Texas, right?
Yeah, I'm in Texas.
Okay, so you just got the Dez exposure. Maybe not the
fan. Yeah, a little bit too much. But, I mean, if it's not Cleveland, I think the second possible destination is New England. So what could go wrong?
Yeah, you know, and if not, you got a week one cut, right?
Yep.
Colin, how about you? What's a team you liked?
I like Fighting Chance Ryan's team. The only questionable part is Carson Wentz is his only quarterback, but his wide receivers are Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, and running backs Melvin Gordon, Kenyon Drake, which I really like as a combo there. I'm a little bit skeptical on Evan Ingram this year just because of all the other weapons that are around Eli Manning and given that it's Eli Manning. Mm-hmm. But with his flex position, he has a lot of flexibility. Sony Michel, Pierre Garcon, Hearns, and then, you know, a few flyers like Jordan Wilkins and DeeDee Westbrook as well. So I think even with Carson Wentz being his quarterback, there's still Matt Ryan, Patty Mahomes, Dak Prescott, guys like that on the waiver wire in a 12-team league. So yeah, he could still get away with it.
Yep, yeah. I'm, like I said, faceless QB, not worried about it. Dave, anybody's team sticks out to you?
No, Nick's notable team, it seems like a team that could either be number one by far or could finish last easily. I mean, if you know, Deshaun Watson performs anything like he did last year, if Allen Robinson comes out and is like he was in 2015 or 2016, and Kamara and Hunt, they, you know, didn't compete last year, I mean, this team could just run away with it easily. So I like that team a lot. It might have a little more risk than what I would like in a team, but there are a lot of guys in there that could really stand out. You know, you got Gallup and Galladay, you know, two big play wide receivers that could make a big difference on the team as well.
Yeah, I like Nick's team too. That would be the one I was having my eye on. Kamara and Hunt is just Yeah, I know they're probably not both going to repeat what they did last season, but such, you know, weak winning potential there from those guys putting up huge, you know, performances with touchdowns, long runs, long catches. Good stuff, guys. Thanks for being on with me, everyone. Let's just go around real quick, throw out some Twitter handles, and if you're working on anything, go ahead and pitch it. Colin, you want to start us off?
Yeah, you can find me at CWeatherWax13, doing a lot of baseball stuff still, coming up on the last month and a half of that, and getting prepped up and ready to go for this fantasy football season. So follow me at CWeatherWax13.
All right, Dave, go ahead.
Yes, follow me at BrewCrewCut on Twitter, and you can, you know, find work on President Fantasy Benefits as well. Trying to get some work up there for baseball season to finish up, and look forward to a good football year.
Ray, go ahead.
Ray_Kuhn_28. Just looking to finish the baseball season out strong, get ready for football. Got articles coming up once a week for baseball and football on Friends with Fantasy Benefits. And also over at Roto Professor. We're still heavy on the baseball, so don't worry about the next month and a half. Getting you ready for football, and then we'll get deep into football with the rankings and all that stuff. It'll be here before you know it.
Yeah, I'm struggling to hold on to my attention span for baseball. It's football is just digging in more and more. So, but yeah, you can get me at Roto_Wan, WAN. Mostly football stuff coming out right now on Friends with Fantasy Benefits. So thanks again, guys. Good luck in your drafts. Hope this helps some people out with some breakout potential players, some fades, yeah, and gets you where you need to be coming into draft season here. All right, thanks again, guys.